Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our twice daily podcast, is entitled Fired Up, now on iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, and 101 platforms. Welcome to another edition of Fade Away, featuring former National Basketball Association player Tracy Murray. Tracy, the long-range bomber Murray, how you doing? Have you gone Christmas Hanukkah shopping yet for me?
Yeah, I'm about ready to put... I'll send you something, Joe. I'm gonna send you something that you're gonna shine up real nice. You're gonna turn sideways.
No, that we give for some other guys like with three letters J Y. Never mind. All right. So you done all your Christmas? By the way, you're in California and in Nevada, or I don't know where you are, but how's the weather there? Because I want to get a nice, like, I wish I was in Hawaii or somewhere like that, but tell me how the weather down there is.
Well, it's not what it normally is, but it's a little chilly. I said between.
What do you mean, a little chilly? What, 80 degrees?
It's not Toronto. No, definitely not 80 degrees. It's not Toronto weather. You know, I know what Toronto is now. Come on, Joe. Don't act like it's been that long and I haven't been there and I don't know what that weather is. Don't get me started, Joe.
But listen,
it is a little bit chilly here for California.
All right, so let's start off with Denver signing Nick Young. What do you think Young brings to the Denver Nuggets?
Experience. I don't know at this stage of the game what he's going to bring to them that's going to help them, because they have a nice young crew that had established themselves, you know, as a team to be reckoned with already. You know, they have a nice rotation. I don't know what they're going to expect Nick Young to do at this stage of the game.
All right. So your team out of L.A. there, the Lakers, are hoping to bolster their wing rotation with Trevor Ariza. I think Trevor Ariza will look good in a Raptor uniform, but let's say LeBron, you know, whatever LeBron wants, he gets. Could Trevor Ariza pop up in the Laker uniform? And is that the person who the Lakers need? Because let's face it, everybody's surprised right now at how well the Lakers are doing.
Well, the defensive side of the ball would be addressed when you have somebody who can defend a wing. With Trevor Ariza, he's also a good spot-up shooter. He can knock down three-point shots from spotting up. He's not a guy that needs the ball to create shots. He can feed off of LeBron, which is always needed. You always need a guy that can feed off of LeBron, knock down shots, keep the heat off him so he can facilitate and create for the rest of the team. So Trevor Ariza would be a perfect addition to that team.
All right, so you know, best friends, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade prepare for their final battle, let's call it. Take me through, it's like 1A, 1B, LeBron is superb, Dwayne Wade. When you're like a coach and you were assistant coach of the Lakers and you had Miami there, you're planning for LeBron James, but did you also plan for Dwayne Wade? Did you also plan for Chris Bosh?
Oh, of course. If you're, you know, scouting a team, you want to know everybody's tendency that's going to hurt you. You know, and you know, and you're scouting Miami during that heyday, and they have championships. Of course, you're gonna, you know, the focus is going to definitely be on LeBron, but you know that Dwayne Wade won a championship before LeBron got there with Shaq, so you know that he could always attack. And you would always make, you know, game plans on trying to neutralize all three of them, because as soon as you focus on two, then Bosh would hurt you. You focus on Bosh and LeBron, then Dwayne Wade would hurt you. I mean, that three-headed monster was hard to deal with during that time.
All right, so I got an email here. Here's something that I want to... I should have asked you this long, long time ago. It comes from Kevin Johnson. No, not the Phoenix Sun. But Kevin wants to know, in your opinion, take away Vince Carter, who was the greatest Raptor of all time?
Greatest Raptor of all time.
If you take away Vince Carter.
We've had a lot of good ones. But you have to look at them when they were in a Raptor uniform.
Yeah.
So, you know, ooh-wee. That's a tough one. That's a tough one because we've had some really good players who were there but not there for a long period of time.
Yep.
And that's where the confusion happens. If I was to say who is Mr. Raptor and that was there for a long period of time, I would say Alvin Williams. But Ooh. If I was to say best Raptor, outside of Vince Carter, that one's tough, man. Because okay. Tracy McGrady wasn't there long enough. Bosh wasn't there long enough. Damon Stoudemire wasn't there long enough. It's like you need guys that are there at least five, six, 7 years that, you know, you can see the major impact of those guys. And I would possibly say maybe DeRozan or Lowry because they've been there the longest.
That's what his
they've
point
been
is.
There the longest. They've been there the longest.
And Kevin, on a side note, he wants to know, and this is a question for you, who was the greatest three-point threat in the Raptors' history? Now, you're the long-range bomber, Tracy Murray. You're a former Raptor multiple times. I'm going to say Tracy Murray. But let's say if you had, you know, your eyes closed, who compares to you? Let's say it's Tracy Murray. Who's the second?
Dale Curry, without a doubt.
Now, when you guys were teammates, did you guys have sort of a game of horse who throws the – and maybe Steph would win it all there, but did you guys have fun playing three-pointers and for like a beer or whatever?
No, we didn't do that too much, but I'm going to tell you, our practices, we were on the same team.
Yeah.
So we would give – the starting unit problems all the time because when you have two threats like me and Dale, and then you have Chris Childs who likes to penetrate and make plays, and then we had Keon Clark as our four man. We had four guys that, you know, could really play and really give the starting unit problems every day in practice. So, you know, we would win a lot because you would have to guard the perimeter, which opened up Keon to drive and post up and Chris Childs to penetrate and make plays. And, you know, we would give the starting unit problems all the time.
All right. Continue on the Toronto Raptors theme. The Raptors are headed out to the West Coast where you are. Tuesday, they take on the Clippers. Wednesday, in Golden State against the Warriors. Then Friday in Portland and Sunday in Denver. This is a critical road trip for the Raptors. They lost two games, specifically Sunday to Milwaukee, the Greek Freak. And the Raptors currently, as we're doing this, are 21-7. All these games, when the Raptors were just making their way through the NBA, these games, these road trips in the West Coast, were lucky if they won one. Okay, so the Clippers are arguably a surprising team. Golden State, I don't have to mention. Portland, I don't have to mention. And Denver is probably the surprise of the year. Are the Raptors going to win, let's say, split this four-game trip?
I don't know. It's going to be a tough one for them. See, this is the question that I have with the Raptors is, you know, how are they going to do against the Western Conference? Because we know they're going to roll the Eastern Conference. There's only a couple of teams in the Eastern Conference that might give them problems, like a Milwaukee, you know, or Boston, or, you know, those teams, but or Philly. But the West is, you know, is always stacked up with really good teams. Even the teams that don't make the playoffs are teams that will roll through the East. So it's like, the Eastern road trip that goes west is always a crucial trip when it comes to wins and losses. So this is a tough trip for the Raptors, and hopefully they do well. I mean, this is you would hope that they split on this trip, but Golden State, and you might be able to catch Golden State because, you know, they're chemistry wise, they're not very good right now. Steph's just coming back, you know, a lot of internal fighting and all of that stuff going on. So you might be able to catch Golden State. Portland, you have two bulldogs that are all constantly fighting for respect with McCollum and Lillard, you know, and then their support, you know, is pretty good support as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at, you said the Clippers. To me, the Clippers was the most surprised team out of everybody. I expected Denver to be in the playoffs this year because of how they played and the experience they've been gaining the last couple of years. I expected them to be in the playoffs this year in the seventh or eighth spot. But the Clippers, I didn't expect them to even be talked about. And they were at the top. They're at the top of the West. So it's going to be a tough road trip for the Raptors this trip.
Yeah, and let's hope. And in your eyes, let's say the Raptors, you know, win two or even win one, and they're still dominant, you know, heading into Christmas and all that. What do you think the Raptors need to propel? Forget about during the regular season in the playoffs, because fans in Toronto do not want to see a first or second round ousted. They want to go to at least a conference final and NBA final for the first time in history.
I agree with that. You know, the fans are, you know, they're losing patience with just winning during the season and not going far in the playoffs. I think the Raptors, you know, they have a good team, but they need a shot in the arm, maybe a trade or something that can get somebody major up in there to give them a little bit of excitement down the stretch. I mean, everybody knows Greek Freak is going to be a free agent, you know, and he's possibly walking away from Milwaukee. There's nothing there to keep him there, you know. If they can make a deal to get him and still keep Kawhi, you know, that would be crazy. That would be a heck of a shot in the arm going into the playoffs.
Yeah, that'll be certainly something to behold there. Okay, so you're the color commentator for the UCLA Bruins. Give us our NCAA basketball weekly update here. Kansas now moving to number one, but Tennessee last week was number seven. Now they're number three.
Well, Tennessee beat Gonzaga, which
yep.
was, huge for them. I didn't see that one coming. I knew they were seven, but I didn't see it coming as far as beating the Zags. And it was a well-played game on both teams, and Tennessee end up winning the basketball game. So back to the drawing board for the Zags, and Tennessee moves up the board.
Yeah, and let's talk about another close by, Buffalo. Last week, 17. This week, 14. Buffalo's team is surprising. They're 9-0. Are they surprising everybody in college basketball?
Well, they're not surprising me because a lot of those recruits were Bobby Hurley's recruits before he took the ASU job. You know, he had players, he had talent coming there. So, and then you have to give the current coaching staff credit for what they're doing with the talent that's there. Is it surprising me? No. Another thing you have to come into play is, you know, when you're looking at teams, mid-major teams like Buffalo, they're keeping guys around. There's no one and done with these programs. So, you're looking at juniors and seniors on the team. You're looking at players staying 4 years. So at the end of the day, they're going to win because of experience and learning how to win and getting better and getting stronger. You know, when you develop that way, you're going to win in college basketball. If you stack your team full of one and done, you're going to lose because they're not 100% there anyway. They already got 1 foot in, 1 foot out, just signing them. So don't expect the commitment to be the same as guys that are going to be there for 3 or 4 years.
All right. A final one. I got to mention this. You know who's going to listen to this and listen, hang by every word. We're going to talk about Syracuse. You know, Syracuse for Norm. It must be Christmas season. I'm putting over Syracuse. Anyways, now they're 25th ranked team, 7-2 on the year. Speak about your favorite orange.
Norman, Norman Rumack, where you at, man? You know Joe's got to throw out the orange and get everybody excited. It's good to see the orange back in the top 25. You know, Coach Boeheim's been there for many years. He knows what he's doing as a head coach. That zone always gives people problems, especially in an era in which, you know, there's analytics involved and everybody's saying shoot a bunch of 3-point shots. It's hard to shoot 3-point shots against Syracuse's zone without shots being contested and somebody long and athletic putting a hand up on your shot. Your percentages will go down analytic-wise if you're playing against a Syracuse-type zone.
Yeah, well, Syracuse, I know Norm is going crazy in Starbucks. So there, a special shout out to Storm and Norman. All right, Trace, as we conclude this edition of Fade Away, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Real Tracy L. Murray on Facebook, at Real Tracy L. Murray on Instagram, and at Real Tracy Murray on Twitter.
And Tracy, the long-range bomber, is the best three-point shooter in Toronto Raptors history. Thanks a lot, Trace.
Well, thanks for the compliment, Joe.